preaching at you to, you know, have revival and get on your face and stuff like that. It's maybe not that type of message, but the information it'll give you is the truth of the Bible and help you a lot. And I've actually been preaching messages of things that I've wanted to know exactly what the Bible says. I kind of had an inkling and knew generally, but I wanted to know real specifically because people have strong opinions on some of these issues and different things I've been teaching on. Also in prophecy, I've been doing that a little bit, just when I wanted to understand something better. I do better when I teach it than when I just try to study and find out what it means. It's for some reason, that's just the way God wired me. And today I want to talk about paying your debts and paying your debts. And Proverbs 22 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver or gold." Your name is very important biblically. And so you got to get that, make sure you protect it. "The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." A lot of times with people talking and working and just the general understanding of people, a lot of times who are in oppression and who are beat up spiritually and lose spiritually, a lot of times they get a little bit of a pity party saying, "Well, other people don't have the temptations that I have, and I am just so weak and I fail so much." And just from an outside point of view, looking in and from seeing my own life, a lot of times some people fail and are because they're in losing situations. It's like me going and saying, "You know, I'm going to fight all the heavyweight boxers in America all at once," and then sit there whining and saying, "It's just not fair. I get beat up so much." Well, I put myself in a situation to lose. And a lot of times, people who aren't as strong but do not put themselves in situations to lose seem like they're really, really strong spiritually. The Bible says, "A prudent man foreseeth evil afar off." It looks like that's going to turn out real bad. "And hideth himself." And they see that that is a bad situation. Listen, there are certain situations where I can put myself in, I know I'm going to fall. So, you know what I do? I don't put myself in that situation just because I know I can't handle it. And I think that you'll find it, you don't have to so much ask God for great supernatural strength if you don't just put yourself in the wrong spots. If you're an alcoholic and you go sit in the bar and say, "God, deliver me," God's going to say, "You're a dodo. You're tempting me. If you would just not go there, you wouldn't be so tempted." The person who wants to serve God and get away from the drugs and it hangs around their same drug friends, they're not foreseeing the evil and hiding themselves. They're walking in the middle of it. And the Bible says that we should do that. And it says, "But the simple," now notice, not the foolish, "but the simple pass on and are punished." So really the wisdom in the whole thing is seeing evil afar off and seeing evil before it gets to you and seeing the evil and being able to hide yourself from evil and seeing what a bad situation and what a bad relationship or what a bad temptation is. That is the wisdom. And the simple just say, "I just happen to get tempted a lot." But prudent people, and by the way, if you're not super duper duper prudent, that's why you should get a lot of counsel in your life, because you can get some prudent people to say this is a bad situation or this isn't, and they can see it for you. It says, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." Again, that's the same thought a little bit. Number 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I preach all messages on that verse. Doesn't say they'll never depart from it, but they won't when they're old. You got to train them up. And so that's an important verse on child rearing. Verse 7, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Let's pray. We'll talk about getting out of debt. I pray, Lord, you'd help me now, Father. You're my Father in heaven. And I believe this is the message, Lord. And I actually had this prepared for a different lesson at a different time, Lord. And yet I felt you put in my heart to switch what I was doing this morning in Sunday school and put this lesson in there, Father. And so, Lord, that I believe this is your message, your will, and it has your truth in it, I know, Father. And I just pray, Lord, as I teach this lesson, Lord, that it would be exactly according to your will. And Lord, you have a reason for it, Lord, and I pray that your reason, whatever it is, would be fulfilled, and we would just see your glory and your power, and you speak to us, Lord, and that you would have your purpose accomplished in this message, Lord. Help our thinking to be brought proper on this subject, and to think the way you think, Lord, because I think that's the biggest part of this message, Father, is seeing things as you see them. And I pray we would do it, and I pray we'd also be diligent in our lives to do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On this subject, I struggle with it a little bit because somebody asked me one time, one of the people who are wise enough to ask me, what we believe and what I believe about death, and a very important subject to them. And it was kind of an important subject to them, and they asked me about it, and they said, do you believe that debt is wrong? And I said, I don't like answering that question the way that's phrased. The answer is no, but let me give a bunch of caveats to that. Because I need to give a bunch of caveats to that. And I said, I'm not comfortable defending debt. And I said, let me illustrate it this way. It's like a guy coming to me and saying to me, you know what? I'm married to my wife and I can't stand her. And you know what? I want to ask you a question. If I get divorced, can God still use me? Well, the answer to that question is yes. However, let me talk to you about that before I say yes. God can use a divorced person. You can't be a pastor, can't be a deacon, can't be a lot of things. But yes, God can use divorced people. But the answer to your question is, can God? So I don't want to answer your question of, can God use divorced people? The answer is, no, you shouldn't get divorced. That's the answer. And with debt, it's like that because I find myself, the people I agree with on doctrine and kind of see life the way they do, many of them are 1,000% it is a sin to have any debt whatsoever. And I kind of like that because they generally stay out of trouble. And the person who believes in debt generally says, yes, I believe in debt. It's like a person, it's like an overweight person saying, I believe in Old Country Buffet. It's kind of like, okay, slow down there. Big fella, it's not like that. I mean, is it a sin to go to Old Country Buffet? Well, for you, you might not make it out the door. And so debt is a subject that people get pretty serious about, because those who believe that all debt is wrong, it is a gigantic conviction. And for some strange reason, those who believe that will leave the church if the church goes in any debt. Now, I say this, Open Door doesn't have debt. Okay? But I want to talk about debt a little bit because it's very important. If you look at this verse 7, it teaches us about debt a little bit here. And it's something we all need to learn about, myself included, in our culture. Verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I think because you live in a unique position in history, in a great situation, you live in America, and you live in a free country that's very prosperous. I do think you as a Christian have the opportunity to be prosperous and godly. That's usually not the case. In most cultures and most of history, if you went after money, you had to become prosperous, you really had to live for money. And if you did that, you were right with God. The Bible says you're not supposed to labor not to be rich, and a million other verses, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and things like that. And you had to live your life for it to achieve money. America's a little different. We burn money up. And we buy $5 coffees all the time. We have cars that cost as much as, you know, a new car cost 5 times what your grandpa and grandma paid for their house. You say that can't be true. Ask the parents of the baby boomers how much they paid for their house. They will say $2,500, $5,000. If they were very rich and bought a fancy house, they might, on the outside, if they're in the city and bought a very nice house, they might have paid $10,000. For that house in 1946 or 1948, when they're building all those houses, and now you can pay a lot of money for a new car, $30,000-$40,000 easily without getting the fanciest of cars. You can spend $100,000 if you want to get a fancy car, and we live in a generation where you can go and just be a diligent person and prosper and make pretty good money, and you weren't even trying to get rich. You just live in America, and you just have a lot of money, and people are prosperous. Because of that, I think we have an opportunity as Christians in America, if we will be diligent, in general, if you work hard, I believe in America today because of a lack of work ethic, if you are a hard worker, I believe you will prosper at your job. Your boss will move you up. Bosses want good employees who show up every day, show up on time, and work hard, and are loyal. And if they do that, you will move up most of the time. And then you get in your company, you get successful, and you do well, and all of a sudden you have a pretty good amount of money. And can I say this? You're in a wonderful situation for a bunch of reasons. If you haven't lived for money, and you have money, and you're still a good Christian, a bunch of things. One, you're not indebted to anybody. Number two, you can give. Boy, the people I have seen in the third world who want to give and give ridiculously and really more than they should give ethically, I mean, they really give what they don't have. People in America can give if they're blessed and they have the opportunity to help out a missionary, to help out a kid who's in trouble, to help out whatever the need is. There's so many opportunities, an orphan, a kid going to youth conference, a kid going to camp, a bus kid, a family who needs your power bill paid. That's all blessing. And it says, the rich ruleth over the poor. That's just a fact. Listen to me for just a sec. You say, that God shouldn't say that. God is stating a fact. Observations are not arguable. If God said, shorter people are not as tall, okay, well, you shouldn't say, well, it's not fair. Shorter people aren't as tall. Well, he's just stating a fact. Proverbs states a lot of facts. He says, the poor are the servants of the rich. And you know what? If you get in debt, you're busy with your whole life trying to pay somebody back. And they can come and take your stuff. They can take your car. You ever heard of repossession? You ever drive around the neighborhoods right now and see all these houses for sale? They're being repossessed, and that person is a servant to the bank, and they're going to go. And by the way, they're going to have that having their house be repossessed on their record. By the way, you can your credit clears every 7 years. Your credit score. Did I say that wrong? Everything in your credit score goes off your credit score every 7 years. And so it's a 7-year period. However, bankruptcies are there forever. And foreclosures are there forever. You say that doesn't appear on the credit score. It doesn't, except for when you buy a major purchase like a house, they will say, have you ever claimed bankruptcy? Have you ever been foreclosed upon? And though it's not in their credit score, it still gets thrown in the record, and it's still your name is still smudged on that. And you're in trouble because you are indebted. I was talking to, the next part of the verse says that. It says, and the borrower is servant to the lender. That's the way God says it is. If you owe somebody, you are now their servant. You owe them, and you are obligated to them. You have to treat them differently. You have to pay them. It is unethical. And by the way, biblically, you should be able to be prosecuted for not paying your debts. You stole. That went over good. When you see that, now listen, I was talking to a young man, good guy, spiritual guy, loved the Lord. He went for a year to the mission field when he was, I think, 18. Loved it. Came back. I worked with him. He was a good guy. Nice guy. We prayed together. I liked him a lot. Good Christian guy. But boy, he could not control his spending. And boy, he'd buy things that he couldn't afford. Here's the thing. It didn't matter how much he made. He always overspent. When he worked fast food, which he did for a while, he overspent and got in debt. Then he worked with me, and we had a pretty good job, making pretty good wages, and he was single, and he still overspent. See, if you are an overspender, you're going to overspend no matter how much you make. The same people who are in debt when they made $40,000 a year get in debt when they make $250,000 a year. It's a character problem. It's an inability to say no. And he was telling me he's in massive debt, this and that, and the other thing, and he's talking about it, and this and that. And I said, you know, you've got to dig out of debt. This is an urgent situation. And he says, well, you know, everybody's got a lot of debt, this and that. And he started talking about it. I said, what if God tells you to go to the mission field tomorrow? You can't go. I said, you are ethically bound to stay here. And God could say, I want you in Guatemala tomorrow. And you have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, but you know that'd be unethical, and you wouldn't want me doing unethical things. I've got $15,000 in credit card bills. You're a servant to the credit card company. And you're a servant. And the borrower is servant to the lender. Yes, sir, I will make sure I pay your money, sir. And so the Bible says that's just a fact. That's the way it is. And so you see the Bible in general frowns on this situation. It's not a good situation to be in, and I think you ought to deliver yourself, and we'll talk about that a little later. First of all, in general, just the general point of the message and to start off with, is in general borrowing and lending was okay in the Bible with some stipulation. In general, borrowing and lending in the Bible is okay with some stipulation. Let me give you a few things. First of all, there is a moral issue in the Bible. There's a couple of them, but the first one is what the Bible calls usury, what the word we call is interest. Interest is a biblical issue, and the Bible talks about it specifically. Let me give you a few points on this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus 22. And verse 25. It says, "And if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to them as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." Now, first of all, just if you read verse 25, is it okay to lend? Let's read it. "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." Is it okay to lend? It's okay to lend. If you do this, this is the way you do it, it says. It's pretty simple there, and we'll read a lot of the verses that are similar. But it says, "But you shall not be him as a usurer." That's a money lender. Let me tell you the wicked, 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 wicked. Let me tell you. You want to get a bad... Well, I want to give you so many financial points tonight. I love talking about finances and how to deal with them. You want to get yourself in a bad cycle is go to Money Tree and go to Dollar Tree and go to the money place and like that. You want to get yourself in trouble? Do you understand the money you get in financial trouble with those things? I took a guy one time. He said, "Can you take me for a ride?" And I took him for a ride. And the guy was in a lot of financial problems. And he said, "Can you take me to this place?" And I said, "You really want to go there?" "Well, I don't have a bank account." Listen to me. You need a bank account. If you don't have a bank account, it messes up so much of your finances. If you're 14, my kids already have bank accounts. Okay? You ought to have a bank account. And if you can't get enough money together for that, you're not an adult. I think a 16-year-old should be able to earn enough money to put it in the bank and have a bank account. There's a lot of things you can't do when you don't have a bank account and save your money. And put some money in there and have it in your account. But he went in there and cast his check. And I was just, ugh. And he said, it was $100. And he said, "You want to know what kind of interest they just charged me?" I said, "No." He says, "Look." I said, "I don't want to see it. It's disgusting." And he got $100, and he cashed a check for $100, and he owed them $15 out of that. Now, you know what? He actually listed out what the APR annual percentage rate on that was. You know what the annual percentage rate on that was? No, the annual. In 1 minute, it was, 2 weeks he had to pay it back. He had to pay it in he had to pay back $15 on this in 2 weeks. The APR of that thing, whatever the numbers were 1,500%. It was the annual percentage rate, not the percent, the 1,500%. And it says, "You will not be like a money lender." A money lender is a person who hires a repo man to come get people. I mean, that's a money lender. It's a greedy person who loans money. And by the way, you know pawn shops rip you off too. You shouldn't, listen to me for a sec. I don't offend you here, but listen to me for a sec. In America, in Seattle, with all the monies here, you should not be living in such a way where you're hanging around the pawn shop and the check cashing place. If that is the case, you are not diligent. I don't mean that cruelly, I mean it kindly, but you know what? If you work at McDonald's, you're making almost $9 an hour working 40 hours a week. And you know what? You can pay for a little cheap studio apartment and keep your head above water. I mean, you have got to go and get away from these places, these money changers, these greedy people who are taking you and stealing from you. And really, they how many of these things that are sneaky, greedy people, there are institutions who will lend to you credibly. And these people will take everything you own, everything about you, and steal your stuff. And they're unethical. It says, "Do not be like a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the time the sun goeth down. And I'll read that verse in a sec from the point. Usury, first of all, let me just give you points. Number one, no interest, and if I use the word usury, it's the word interest. No interest to God's people. The Bible says that. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be in him as usurer, neither shall I charge him usury. So, a couple things. First of all, we're going to read a lot of verses that are going to say, do not charge usury to my people. So, Matthew comes up to me tonight and says, Pastor, I forgot to bring money for my bus fare tonight. Can you lend me $3 or $5 or whatever? Okay? I don't say, all right, but you got to give me back 10. I don't do that. Now, he should do that, but I don't. That's not what I should do. The Bible says that I should not to my brother, and we'll get to more later. The New Testament goes a lot farther than this, but it just says in the Bible, you are not to charge your brother, your fellow Israelis, interest. And it says that very specifically. We'll read several verses that say that. And let me take you to Deuteronomy 23. We're going to be back in Exodus 23, but I'm going to start off with the law and what the Old Testament said about debt. And we'll go to the New Testament because it changes it a little bit. And Deuteronomy 23, and I'll apply it spiritually. Deuteronomy 23, verse 19. It says, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury for money, usury for victuals, usury for anything that is lent upon usury. Unto the stranger thou mayest lend upon usury. Number one, you're not supposed to lend, interest to God's people. Number two, you may charge interest to strangers. To people who weren't, that's what they called, the people who weren't Israelis, they weren't Jews, they're called strangers. And it says right there in verse 20, upon a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury. Okay, are you with me so far? Is there any controversy? It says you do not charge your brother usury, and are you allowed to charge usury to a stranger? Okay, pretty clear there. It says that there is not really a lot of things. Thou mayest lend upon usury to him. So you may charge interest to that in the Old Testament if somebody wasn't your brother or sister, if they weren't a fellow Israeli, they weren't one of God's people, if you're with the Ammonites, and the Ammonites, you were prosperous, and the Ammonites said, came up to you and said, you know what, I need to buy some clothes, and I want to borrow $100, and I'll pay you back $105. You can do that to them. So that is allowed. Number three, you should never be greedy or oppressive. You should never be greedy or oppressive in doing this. Deuteronomy 24, verse 10. When thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad to thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. We'll read that in Exodus and explains a little better. And if any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment. So, a couple things about this here. In this particular passage and in Exodus, it talks about this. It says, do not go into his house to recover your pledge. That's fascinating. God specifically says that. This guy goes in and he says, I want to borrow $100. I'm going to buy some clothes, and I will put up my dresser here for that $100, which is a secured loan, as we would call it today. So you come there and you say, where's my money? It says you may not go inside and grab out that thing. That's oppressive. By the way, that's what a lot of greedy people do. And that's why they hire repossess things, stuff like that. And they come into your very house. I'm so glad that in our nation, they talked about, they understand your private property and a reasonable seizures and searches and stuff like that. I think it was about the Fourth Amendment. And I'm glad about that. Have a little, this is my home. Don't come in here. And so don't do that. Don't be oppressive. Don't go in their house. Interesting, it says if it's somebody with their clothes and they owe you and their clothes are their security, you can take their clothes away, but then you give it back to them at night because they'll get cold. It says, don't be cruel. If they do that, then that's the way God says do it. Now let's see. Verse 13. Verse 12. If the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. If in any case, thou shalt deliver him to the pledge again. When the sun goeth down, he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee. And it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt not oppress the hired servant. And so you are not supposed to be like a money changer, a cruel person, a nasty person. Because you know what? God says that's not kind, and it's not right, and it's unethical, and God doesn't like it. And so we should never do that. Let's go back to Exodus 22. Are you with me so far? Hoping that boring you with this. I'm just giving you some Old Testament laws about loaning. You know, you can do that. You can loan. The problem, I don't mind big companies. I don't mind big corporations. I don't mind people being diligent and making money, all that stuff. But I don't like them doing it on people's backs. And I don't like them, in the fine print, you find out if you don't do this, then they steal from you. People just need to be ethical. Okay, I'm going to do this for you for this. You're not trying to gouge anybody. Charge a good price, get a good deal, but do not be a gouger and a stealer and a thief and an oppressor. God is against that. It's sinful and it's immoral. Exodus 22, verse 21, thou shalt not vex a stranger nor oppress him. So you can charge usury to those strangers, but do not oppress them and not vex them. You're not there to be cruel to them. You're supposed to treat them kindly. And you should not afflict them. And for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. You're not supposed to also vex a widow or a fatherless child. That's a whole other subject. You get in big trouble for that. Verse 25, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not beat him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the time the sun goeth down, for it is his covering only. And so you can see how it says the same thing. Number four. Blessed people can lend. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Blessed people, or people who've been blessed by God, or people who've been diligent, they can lend. And that's a blessing that you have something to lend. Verse 6. Deuteronomy 15:6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee. Wait for you there. Deuteronomy 15:6. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. It's wicked to borrow and to lend money. Well, in the Old Testament, at least, God said, you're going to be blessed, and the other nation is going to come to you and say, we need money. And you'll be so blessed, you'll be able to give them money. And so, you know, that's a blessing. I find somebody, and they need help. They say, man, Pastor, I can't pay my rent this month. You're going to the wrong guy. But you say, Pastor, can you lend me $1,000 to pay my rent this month? You know what a blessing is, my brother or sister in Christ? I can say, here it is. That's a blessing if I can do that. What an opportunity to be blessed by God and to be able to help people. And by the way, God, if you don't do that, when God's blessed you, God says, I think I'll just go ahead and unbless you. And he says, I'm not going to bless you if I've given you to help. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, but thou shalt reign over many nations, and they shall not reign over thee. The context there certainly is saying you're going to be blessed. You don't need to go to them for money. They will come to you for money. And if there be among you a poor man, one of thy brethren, within the gates of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Blessed people can give. Next, in general, the Lord frowns upon interest charging. Okay, here's a little bit here. You got to be careful and understand the principle and not focus too much on the command. God said you can charge usury to a stranger, but in general, just like debt in general, this is kind of bad. And God in general frowns about it. He says, you are allowed to go ahead and charge usury to a stranger. However, in general, he says usury is a bad thing. It's a cruel thing. That's a general teaching, and there's a lot of Bible on that. Kind of like we talk about somebody comes to me with divorce, same thing. They come to me and say, Pastor, my husband committed adultery on me. Can I divorce him biblically? Yes, you can divorce him biblically. Do I want you to? Do I think it's best? Should we try to work it out? Is it the best thing in the world? No. Is it allowed? Yes. God sometimes says, I will allow this, though I don't really like it. And he says, for the hardness of your heart, I'll allow you to write a bill of divorcement if they commit adultery. However, it's because of the hardness of your heart, I don't want you to do that. And there's things that are allowed in the Bible, though God frowns upon, and he kind of says, oh, okay, you can do that. You can charge usury, but in general, God says usury is an oppressive thing that I don't like, and I don't like the way you do that. And I don't like people who do that. And he generally kind of says, really clean, godly people do not do that. Again, in the Old Testament, let me just show you how he frowns on it. Proverbs 28. And we'll just look at a couple of verses here that say this about charging interest. He generally frowns on it. Proverbs 28. Verse In verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Interesting there. I think in that verse, if you look at it, it's like talking about a usurer. He said, if you gain your riches by unjustness and by usury. So in the Old Testament, the guy goes and he loans some money, and he gets some of it back, and he probably loans some money and doesn't get it back. But in general, he's not living on charging people interest. But he goes and gets it from usury. He says, God says, that person who just lives on usury and gains their whole fortune on usury and unjust gain, and he kind of associates the two, that person is going to be, their money is going to be left for somebody who's right. And he says, I don't really like usury as a method of living and doing that all the time. If you have to do it, he's saying, but to the stranger, but it's not the way to live your life because I don't really like usury very much. Go back to Psalms 15. And Psalms 15 is a short chapter, but it talks about who's going to dwell in God's presence. And in verse 1, he that walketh uprightly, verse 2, and does right things, verse 3, doesn't backbite and is nice to their neighbor. And so he talks about all these different things that a good person does that'll dwell in God's presence. In verse 5, he says, he that putteth not his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. He says he doesn't put out his money to usury. So in general, you can see that charging interest is frowned upon. Next, just the principle here, don't charge interest to the poor. Don't charge interest to the poor. Exodus 22. I should have read it while I was there. I think I did, but I didn't focus on it with you. But do not charge interest in the poor. Exodus 22, and let's read it quickly. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not lend to him as a usurer, neither shall I lay upon him usury. And you see a couple times, and it talks about specifically poor people, it talks about widows, it talks about orphans, and being very careful in doing that. And so that is there. Let me just say a general statement here that we haven't gotten to. When the Bible talks about debt and usury, it is not talking about the borrower. And I think that's a significant point. It doesn't say you who are borrowing never pay usury. It does not say that anywhere in the Bible. Okay? It says it gives some stipulations for those who are the lender. Okay? So I have a mortgage and I'm buying my house for the next 300 years. I'm buying my house and I am paying interest. Now I don't pay a high percentage rate because I have good credit. Good credit's a very important thing. You usually, as a Christian, you should have excellent credit because you pay your debts. But I don't think there's anything. I cannot find anything in the Bible that tells me I cannot pay interest. Listen, if I'm broke on the side of the road, my car is broke down, and I'm by a parts store, and somebody stole my wallet, I'm standing there, and a guy walks by, and I say, "Hey, man, can I borrow $20? I got a part I need to buy here." And he says, "If you'll pay me back as soon as we get to town." I'm paying him back $25 if he charged me $5 interest. Why? Because I need the money. I don't think it's sinful for me to do that. He might be gouging me, but I'm just borrowing the money. Next, debt brings. Now I'm going to move on from usury. You see, usury is usually the issue. Now I'm going to talk about debt itself. Debt brings problems in general. Debt brings problems. Let me take it to 1 Kings, just a story in the Bible. It talks about this. So, all right, excellent. My pastor said it's nothing wrong with going into debt. Slow down, big fella. You know what? You ought to avoid debt. It gets you in trouble. And you know what? It is much easier to get into debt. If you haven't figured this out yet, trust me. It's much easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. You can spend it much quicker than you can pay it back. And it affects your entire life. Your debt hanging over you. In debt, in general, debt brings problems. 1 Kings chapter 4. And, is that right? I don't think that's the right verse. I think it's, let me see if it's 2 Kings 4. I think that's what it is. That's it. 2 Kings 4. Sorry about that. Didn't look right. It says, now there's a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. So this is a wife of a prophet family here. This is chapter 4, 2 Kings 4, 1. Saying to Elisha, thy servant, Elisha, your servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord. So he's a good man, amen? It says he feared the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Okay, first of all, he was a man in debt. The Bible says he feared the Lord. However, he was in debt. And in different cultures, in different situations, your children were collateral. And he says, they're going to come take my two kids because he owes debt. Let me say this to all you breadwinners. Your family needs to be taken care of if you die. You need to have your situation taken care of, either enough money in the bank and every debt paid, or a big life insurance policy, at least 10 times your annual income, in order to take care of your family if you die. You leave them, and I've seen this in the last 4 months, people left in bad situations because somebody dies. It's unethical. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And your spouse should not, and your children should not live in the poorhouse because you spent all your money. And you weren't prepared for the future. And man prepares himself for winter. It says, and in verse 2, that was free. Verse 2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do unto thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he says, okay, I'll help take care of you. The man of God will help you. And so you see, she's in a bad situation because he was in debt. Debt leaves you in bad situations. It controls you. They can garnish your wages in certain situations. All kinds of bad things can happen. You are not free to get more money. You're not free to buy the things you want. They look at your credit. It is a dangerous thing. You should not be in a lot of debt because you owe people and you're a servant to the lender. It brings a lot of problems. Look at Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Nehemiah chapter 5 to 4 Psalms. Being in debt in general causes all kinds of problems. Nehemiah chapter 5. In verse 1, there's a great cry of the people and of their wives against the brethren, the Jews, for there were that said, we are sons and our daughters are many, wherefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some of them also said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money from the king's tribute, in order to pay taxes, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Now ye eat our flesh, now our flesh, as is the flesh of our brethren, our children as our children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is there any power to redeem them, for other men have laid have our lands and vineyards. He came to Nehemiah and said, we're Jews, and we had to pay taxes. We didn't have money, and we had to keep our land, and we have put everything up and mortgaged everything we have, and now we're losing our daughters and our sons, and everything's a mess, and we owe money, and we're losing our lands, and our sons and daughters, we're losing them because of debt, and it's a disaster. And you know what? It just brings problems. It's just a bad situation. Debt is not good to be in. It is. When you were starting the church, we were, you talk about financial trouble. We were, if I didn't spend a penny on myself, if I never went out and ate one time, never bought a coffee, if I never bought a piece of clothing, if I never bought anything and just paid my rent and my car insurance and that kind of stuff, and bought gas for my car, I was $1,000 a month in debt when he started the church. If I didn't buy anything. If I didn't buy food, I was there. Okay? We were in massive financial trouble. And God used, we had a family we knew from back in Oregon, and they came and visited our church, and they're a good family. And the man wrote us a check. And we came to church, we preached, and he just visited church. There was hardly, maybe nobody there that day except for his family, him and his family. And they wrote us a very big check. I think it was $7,000. A lot of money. It was a big check. It was at least $5,000, maybe $7,000 or $8,000. And I looked at the check and I said, brilliant statement, me being so poor. I said, you have that much? He's a person who didn't believe in any debt whatsoever. To I mean, a conviction, any debt is sin. They literally wouldn't buy a house. So they bought a piece of property cash that he saved for since they first got married. And I think they'd been married over 20 years and they finally did this. I was there when they did it. And they had a log cabin pieces delivered to their property. I was there when they unloaded log cabin pieces. And they lived in a tent for 7 months and built a log cabin. And I saw him write, it was a $31,000 check he handed the person who brought the log cabin to him. Wrote a $31,000 check. This was 25 years ago. And then they lived in a tent, husband, wife, and son, and built that house. That was them. And he said to me, he says, you know what? He says, I don't have a house payment. He says, I don't have a car payment. I pay for my cars in cash. He was an engineer. Made good money, but not ridiculous money. He says, I don't have a bill. He says, I have no bills. He says, all my money I bring in every single year is just free cash. I thought, you know, there's something wholesome about that. Can you imagine if you just had your whole freight paycheck free? How many wouldn't mind that? That wouldn't be a bad thing if you had your whole paycheck, just no bills coming in. And by the way, I got a long way to go. But he was able to be a blessing like that because he just didn't have any debt. So I'd rather have that guy who doesn't believe in debt at all than a guy who says, there's nothing against the Bible in debt. Where's my credit card? Bless God. You know, you're going to find out one person's miserable and one person's going to have a blessed life. And just because you can borrow it, and by the way, you know what I'm really glad about and everyone else is mad about? I'm really glad the banks have drawn back and quit lending so much money and are being much stricter about it. Not for the bank's sake. I don't care about the banks. Their credit card companies are greedy, sneaky, nasty companies. However, I'm glad for people's sake they can't get as much money to spend that they don't have. Because I don't like seeing people get massively in debt. Debt brings a bunch of problems. Next. I got so many points here I want to get to which one's most important. In the New Testament, we should give, not lend. We're a little different now. Go to Luke chapter 6. Now, this is not as fun here because Jesus brought in a kind of a new law here that isn't quite as fun. Luke chapter 6, verse 34. It says, and if ye lend to them, remember, Jesus always makes things stricter. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. I say, you look upon a woman, you committed adultery. You've heard it, do good to those who bless you and hate your enemies. I say, love your enemies. Jesus always made things stricter. And here he does it. He goes from lending and principles of lending, but he changed it much more Christian. If ye lend, verse 34, to them to whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive much again, as much again. But if ye love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be for me therefore merciful. So, Matthew comes to me tonight and says, I need $5, pastor, for my bus ride. I say, here's $5. Don't worry about it. I'm not expecting anything. It doesn't say it's a sin for him to give it back to me. And by the way, a couple principles about giving here. Number one, never let anybody borrow anything or never lend anything that you want back. That if you don't get it back, you're going to be mad about. Because the best of people, I don't understand it, the best of people will not pay you back. I don't understand it. The best of people will forget. I shouldn't say it. A lot of really good people you thought very highly of, you'll find out will not pay you back. And you know what you'll do? You'll get angry and bitter and fuss and won't like them, and you'll have a separation between you and your brother, you and your sister, your own family member. When I give out money, folks, I don't expect anything. I'm talking about my personal money. If I get it back, bonus. I never let anybody drive my car that I say, you know what, if I don't get my car back, I don't get it back. See, I don't give my car to people I can't trust that are going to treat it right and drive it and be careful. And if they had an accident, I know it's not because they were irresponsible, because I'll get angry. I don't go give somebody and they say, can you borrow your tools? If I'm not willing to lose that tool, I won't lend it because I don't want to be angry. I don't want to give anything away that's going to cause strife between me and somebody else. There are certain things that I have to have for my family, and I won't lend them. If I have to do that, if I have to have it back, I won't lend money I need to pay my bills. In other words, if you lend, don't expect anything back and plan on that and lend with that in mind. I'm going to give them this money, but I might not get anything back. And if I don't get anything back, I'm still going to be kind and love them and not hold it against them. It's a bonus if I get it back. That's not easy. And by the way, how many of you know people in your own family and all your little circles where they're still fighting over some old debt? And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. If somebody pays me back, I praise the Lord and get and thank God for it. But I don't loan out money I don't have that I have to have back. And that's a wise principle. Very, very careful about that. And by the way, don't loan valuable things to irresponsible people. If you're going to get angry if they destroy it, that's your fault. You knew who they were. And be very careful about that. And sometimes you have to learn to say no. Bible says we're supposed to give and ask nothing in return. And that's what a good Christian does. Next, it is a sin not to pay your debt. Amen? Psalms 37. It is a sin not to pay your debt. I'm finishing up here. Got another hour here. Psalms 37. Verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. You see, they're just a greedy credit card company, but you borrow their money, and you are wicked if you don't pay that money back. That's why you should not borrow money you cannot pay back. Because they give you the credit does not mean you can afford the credit. I know I can't. Listen, my credit score is over 770. I have a whole bunch of credit with all my credit cards. I have a whole bunch of credit with a whole bunch of things. And you know what? If I ever charge those things, I would be paying that back until I was 100. I don't got the ability to pay back a lot of money. And by the way, starting the church, I racked up a lot of debt. And it is hard to pay that debt back. I'm working on it, and we are throwing money at it and trying hard. But it's going to take a long time. Tens and tens and tens and tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars getting the first 5 years starting this church. And you know what? If I say, you know what? Well, Scott, I'm going to claim bankruptcy. I could do that. I could go claim bankruptcy and say, look at my income, look at how much I owe. And any court would say, easy, chapter 11 right there, chapter 13. I could do any of those things easily, keep my house and be just fine, except for I'd be wicked. And I'll pay back every penny. I'll find a way. Doesn't matter. I'll find a way because I don't want to be a wicked person. A wicked person just goes in debt. Well, I just got to pay my bills somehow. And then they never pay it back. And then you go and you just go to some credit counseling association and say, can you settle all these things with me and do it? Why don't you just not get in that position? It is a sin not to pay your debt back. I think if you thought of somebody tonight you owe money to and you haven't paid them back, you ought to call them and say, you know what, I just want you to know I intend to pay you back, even if you don't know how you're going to do it, and you tell them I'm going to pay them back and you start making plans. Quit buying Starbucks and quit buying McDonald's and pay people back. Don't take the money you owe to somebody else and go buy your little fun things. Go buy wheels or a stereo or something like that. When you owe somebody else, you're taking their money you should be paying to them and spend it on yourself. And it's not ethical. Amen. If in debt, urgently deliver yourself. Proverbs chapter 6. We'll get a couple more points here. Proverbs chapter 6. Isn't it amazing how many of you, I didn't even ask you to raise your hands. I just said how many of you know somebody in a family and they're still strife because somebody borrows or lent or something like that. And a whole bunch of you raise your hands right up. Isn't that amazing how much problem debt causes? By the way, our leadership in our nation since the 80s, since the late 70s, has been wicked in borrowing money and not paying it again. We are in so much trouble. We're doing $1.4 trillion this year doing that. Spending money that we do not have. Borrowing it from China and other countries who are buying our debt. And it's a mess. But they're just representing us because we do it the same thing. By the way, one of the things that made me know the economy is going to collapse. One of the things that made me realize the economy was going to collapse and I prepared for it before it happened, you know, one of the things was, for the first time in history, 3 years ago, before it collapsed, for the first time in history, we had more debt than we had income in individuals in a year. Think about that number. We had more debt than we had annual income for the first time in history. That's an amazing number. And I said, we can't sustain this. We're in big trouble. Next, if you're in debt, dig yourself out quickly. Chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend. In other words, you co-sign. Get yourself in trouble there. Don't ask me to co-sign for you, by the way. I don't co-sign. Or bail you out of jail. I've gotten many offers in those things, and I no. If thou be surety for thy friend, Brother Hiles, very generous man. He preached a lot out and had a pretty good income. He told all the preachers, he said, fellas, do not co-sign for anybody. It's not worth it. And somebody asked him, how many people you co-sign for right now? How many people you co-sign for? He says, right now I'm co-signed for 20. And they ask him, how many are you paying for? He says, 14. You're paying for 14 cars or houses. He's making the payments because his name's on it. He had to make the payments. He says, I'm co-signed for 20 things. I am paying for 14 of them. When people, because of the lack of character in America, when they say, well, if I don't make my payment, he'll always pay the rest of it. That's what they'll do. There's a very few people who have the ethics to say, I am not going to put that burden on that person when they can be lazy. At least make them buy you a Starbucks if they do that. And if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with thy stranger, if thou be snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken in the words of my mouth, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art gone in the hand of my friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a deer, as the roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. You say to the person who's got you in. You say, you got me. And you know what? I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to not sleep. I'm going to work. Here it is. I got to get out of your hand. I got to deliver myself quickly. That's what it says. Get yourself free of them. Okay, I'm free of you now. They got you. And he says, if you've been delivered, you've been stuck, it says, okay, pay your debt. They got you. Whether it's right or wrong, they did. Now you run and get that money paid back. Do it very quickly. And I'm going to go to Romans chapter 13. It says, verse 6, for this cause pray you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore, this is Romans 13, verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another is fulfilled the law. Those who believe in no debt whatsoever claim that is their, that is not their verse, that's their half a verse, okay? And it's an important part of verse here, Romans 13, verse 8. It says, no man anything, but the verse doesn't stop there, and the context is very clear there. If you have a massive dispensation in the Bible where you're transforming from it's okay to loan to, or it's not okay to loan and borrow, in the Bible always you have a very clear teaching of why, you have very clear explanations, it's backed up several spots in the New Testament. This part of the verse says, pay your taxes, pay your dues. Don't be in debt to anybody. Just pay your things. Pay your taxes. Don't be indebted in all these things. And the only thing you should owe somebody is to love one another. The context is never take a loan. The context is go ahead and pay your taxes and do not be in bondage and be in jail because you couldn't pay for the things you're supposed to pay for. It's really not some massive new thing that's coming in here, although it's a better principle and you should try to owe no man anything. That's your goal. Every one of your goals should be digging out of debt right now. It's everyone your goal. You should be digging out of debt if you are in debt, and if you are not in debt, do not get in debt. If you cannot handle a credit card, burn it up, cut it, slice it in a million pieces, or give it to me. If you cannot handle it, and by the way, I joke about that, but seriously, if you say, you know what, I need to rent a car sometimes because I need a credit card, I need to buy things online sometimes, but you cannot control your credit card, it is a very reasonable thing to give that credit card to a responsible person and get it when you need it. That's a responsible thing to do. I know people who've done it. That's wise. If you know you can't control yourself and you have to have that situation, then be very wise about it and make sure somebody, and then make sure that person who will say, what do you need this for? And do that. Next, we are in debt to the Lord. That's the last thing I want to finish up on. We are in debt to the Lord. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live after the flesh, for if ye not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall live. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We are not debtors to our flesh. We don't owe our bodies anything. The Bible teaches we are debtors to the Lord. You are not your own. The Bible says you are bought with a price. I won't turn all the verses because of time. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 through 12 says, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Jesus paid a great price for us, and he went and bought you back to God, and you owe a debt. Listen to me real closely here. I want you to get a very important principle all over the Bible, and it's everywhere throughout the Bible. Very important principle, and you'll understand a lot about life. Indebtedness is not just money. You owe people, though they might not require anything of you. In a whole bunch of spots in the Bible, people are supposed to be esteemed and honored and taken care of and blessed and respected because of what they did for you. You're supposed to, by the way, you owe your parents. You take care of your parents when they get old because they take care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. You owe a debt. You say, how much is it? It's called an ethical debt. It's an ethical debt. If someone saved your life, you might come and say, you know what? Here, I want to give you $1,000. They might say, you know what? I don't need your money. I'm rich. I'm fine. I don't need it. It's fine. I'm just glad you're alive. You might not know that anything financially. They might not take a penny, but you know what? You might go wash your car a couple times. You might go be a person who just realized I owe that person a debt. And all of a sudden, you see that same person one day, and he's broke down on the side of the road. Your day just changed because you owe a debt. Okay? People who influence your life, the Bible talks about, Paul kept bringing this up, this person esteem them, this person honor them, this person treat them right, because you owe a debt because they did this for you. The ultimate person, and by the way, that's in life, you owe debts to people and you ought to appreciate that and be there for them and do things for people you owe moral obligations to. That's what you ought to do, and that's true, but above all, it's for the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians and we'll finish up here. Because a person you owe the biggest debt to, and you're in debt that you can never pay back, is the Son of God in his blood. You ain't got enough money, you ain't got enough time to pay that debt back. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. You have been purchased, you are indebted to God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirits, which are God's." Listen to me for a sec. You can make all excuses for not serving God and for being a petty Christian and for joking around about not serving God and for not doing it. Can I tell you, God may take you to heaven because he saved you, and you may not have to do anything to get there. However, you owe a great debt to him. And you ought to give everything and not find any reason to stop you, and you ought to love your God because he took all of your sin debt and paid every bit of your sin debt, and he took it, the debt you can never pay, all of your sin, and says, "I'll pay it all, bring it on me on the cross," and he died for you and rose again, and any ethical person would say, we love him because he first loved us. And Lord, I'm going to give you my life, and I'm going to love you because I owe you a debt. You give me life, you give me breath, you give me health, you give me eternity, you give me your love, you give me your presence, Lord. I owe you my life, I owe you a debt. I think of that great song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present, far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." You owe God everything. And if you could give God everything in nature and you owned the whole world and said, "God, here's the whole world," it would not pay back his son's death for you. You ethically and morally owe people debt, and yes, you ought to owe no man anything but to love one another. And oh, you owe love to people. And Paul said, "I am a debtor both to Jews and the Greek. I owe them the gospel." However, you ought to look at God and say, "Lord, I owe you more than I owe the credit card company, and more than I owe the mortgage company, and more than I owe anybody in the world. I owe you, Lord, and I'm going to pay you back with my life and my love and my time and my energy. How can I give more? How can I love more? How can I sacrifice more? I want to pay back my debt to you, although I never can. I want to do my best." That's what true love really does. And that's what our biggest debt is to the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for your word. As we're talking about, Lord, your principles of debt, Lord, we have a debt above all. And really, the most important point was the short last point, Father, about our debt to you. Father, how we owe you, and I pray today that we would pay back that debt. I pray for unethical people who borrowed and pay not again. I pray we become ethical people. I pray to be people who are willing to give without asking anything in return. Lord, I just pray to be ethical Christian people who have a good name among the heathen and say those people pay their debt and they're honest. Lord, I pray above all we pay that debt to you, Lord, and be kind and loving. I pray today that you would speak to us about debt and how to handle it and what the Bible says about it. And I pray to be good ethical people and the right kind of people in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.